What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
What's going on? It is Thursday, getting closer to the Super Bowl. We are fired up. We are giving you our favorite player props, and we are giving you something that I want everybody to play, everybody to get in on. It's going to be the official FFT four-player prop parlay. We'll figure it out on the air. I'm Adam Azer with Hey, Dave.
What's up, man? Four-player prop parlay.
Yes.
We're all going to lose money together.
And you know what? You lose a little bit of money with the opportunity to make a lot of money, I would assume. Jamie, what's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Yo.
Great. And Sia Najad is here. What's up at Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. He is on the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. He is on the Early Edge. He's a DFS expert. He's going to give us his favorite props. What's up, man?
What is up? Happy to be on with you guys. Looking forward to talking some Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Is that this weekend?
I won't have a chance to ask you this, but give me two or three essential food items at your Super Bowl party. You know, I won't have it. This is my only chance to ask you. So go ahead, CEO. Two or three essentials.
I mean, you got to have pizza, obviously. I mean, pizza and chips, a pepperoni pizza preferred, and just some sort of potato chip and dip, preferably like a guacamole type dip.
I'm going to do a Twitter poll. Schrager, maybe you can do a YouTube poll. If you could only have one, wings or pizza at your Super Bowl party, only one. You say pizza, Sia?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Dave, this must be a really tough one for you.
Well, pizza is better than wings, just in general. So I will side with my dear partner, pizza.
And Jamie, how about you?
Wings by mouth.
I like pizza better, but I feel like I don't have wings that often. So I think I would probably go wings. All right. Well, we'll let the people decide. Let's do our
wings are for the meal in between your pizza meals.
pizza wings,
maybe throw a salad in there, you know, covered in ranch dressing, back to pizza.
And then you appear on My 600-Pound Life.
All right. Let's do it here. So see, give me your absolute favorite player prop. Your favorite one that is a must play this week.
It's probably Joe Mixon under 63.5 rushing yards. That probably has moved to 62.5, depending on where you look. So I like it at 62.5 as well, of course. I just think that it's such a tough matchup for the Bengals on the interior specifically. But, you know, Joe Mixon just hasn't done enough to show me, just from a yards per carry standpoint, especially against this defense, it's not a great matchup for him.
He's only been over that number twice since November. It's kind of crazy. And the most rushing yards the Rams have allowed in the playoffs was the 52 yards to Leonard Fournette on the ground. So, yeah, this feels like an easy one for Mixon to disappoint us. Probably not a good DFS play as well. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
I'm pretty sure that if you took away his overtime rushing against the Chiefs, he would have been under that number against the Chiefs as well. So that would have been once in his last eight games if without the overtime. Mm-hmm. Dave, your favorite player prop?
My favorite player prop is probably, it's either T. Higgins over his yardage, which I think went down since I published it in my prop story this week on CBS Sports, or it's his receptions one. I'll go with the receptions because it's even money. You don't have to lay any juice on it. Over 5.5 receptions. He's given you at least 6 catches each of his last 2 games. He's got a much higher catch rate versus zone defense than he does against man defense. And he has more explosive plays as well, so that'll help the yardage. But I think he'll get more target volume against zone defense. The Rams played the second most zone coverage of any defense in the NFL during the regular season. And I think they're third most at around 80% in the postseason. The Bengals are going to see a ton of zone coverage against LA. That's good for Higgins.
Yeah, he's got at least 6 catches in 3 of his last 5 games. So it's a stat that's certainly working in his favor.
And this is something that I was thinking about saving for later. I'll just tell you now. The consensus seems to be that Jalen Ramsey is going to line up against Ja'Marr Chase a frequent amount of the time. He's been playing on the outside throughout the playoffs, hasn't been in that star role that we saw earlier in the year. If that's the case, then it's going to be 5'9" Darius Williams going mano a mano with T. Higgins, who's 6'4". So I like that matchup. I think that that's an advantage that the Bengals will try and capitalize on.
Yeah, Ramsey has been shadowing more frequently later in the season. And that actually, you know, for Ja'Marr Chase, it's not like he's been shutting these guys down. And, you know, Evans did have 16 targets, but he had that long touchdown catch at over 100 yards. Justin Jefferson at over 100 yards and saw a lot of Jalen Ramsey in that game. But obviously, he's a terrific cornerback. All right, so far we have Mixon under 62.5 rushing yards, T. Higgins over 5.5 receptions. Jamie, what is your favorite player prop?
Matthew Stafford over 2.5 rush attempts at plus 100. He's had at least 4 carries in 3 games in a row. And so, you know, you're just looking at his feet are moving. And so all he needs is 3 carries in this one. And it just feels like it's an easy one at this point based on the rush attempts that he's had in the postseason so far. He also has 2 rushing touchdowns too, so not a bad situation.
Are those kneel downs though? Because what is that, just because they're
winning? That's a rush.
No, yeah, those count as rush attempts. So that's the good news there. If you think the Rams are going to close this thing out easily.
Yep.
Oh, I'm so nervous about this because I. All right. Look, that's the official. Matthew Stafford over 2.5 rush attempts. They better win. All right. So my favorite player prop was Joe Mixon under the rushing yards and T. Higgins over his receiving yards. I was like, Dave, please don't take my other favorite one, but you went with the reception. So I'm going to go T. Higgins over 67.5 receiving yards. All right, we've got now, let me get my odds up here. Receiving yards, Higgins.
And Higgins has done that in 6 of 8 games, 6 of 9 games.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay, so now with Mixon under 62.5, Higgins over 5.5 receptions and over 67.5 yards. Oh, I can't combine those two. Why not?
You won't be able to combine with one player.
The two Higgins ones. All right, fine. I'll pick a different one.
Well, you know, if we're going to do a whole show about props, maybe we'll find one along the way that we can put in there. We'll decide which one we like better between Higgins' yards and catches. And we'll see if we can come up with another prop that knocks out one of the other ones that we've named
so
far. Okay. By the end of the show, we'll have 4 that we love.
Okay. All right.
And Adam, one of my plays is also Higgins over 5.5 receptions. So if you're going to choose between those two, maybe the receptions prop is appropriate.
All right. So
it's,
again,
even money. I think you've got to lay out some cash to take the over on the yardage.
Yes. Okay, good. So we've got,
that'll boost our odds, baby.
Mixon under 62.5 rushing yards, T. Higgins over 5.5 receptions, and Matthew Stafford over 2.5 rush attempts. Okay, we need one more prop. We can do that. That shouldn't be hard. Let's go to round 2. Sia, give me your second favorite.
Okay, well, my second favorite was, in fact, T. Higgins over 5.5 receptions. However, I'll pivot to Samaje Perine over 8.5 receiving yards. The rationale here is simply that he has really become the third down back here. If you look at the beginning of the season and you start to see what his progression was on third down in terms of usage as we get to late in the season and to the playoffs, he's basically the third down back 70% of the time as of late. So in what's like, and by the way, he's a great pass blocker too. There are reasons he's in the game other than just his receiving prowess and things of that nature. So I see him on the field quite a bit. I think 8.5 receiving yards is very doable, whether it's on a screen or whether it's just an outlet. Let's remember when we're considering Samaje and T. Higgins that CJ Uzama, like I don't think he's really ready to play. I think if he suits up, he'll be relatively ineffective. So I think a lot of those targets might go to, let's say, Mixon or Samaje Perine or particularly T. Higgins. So I like Samaje in this spot.
I'm kind of interested in Mixon, rather, over 26.5 receiving yards, which he's almost always over, sometimes very, very close to that. But it was 27 and a half last week. He didn't get there. He got 27. Is it 26 and a half this week? All right. So that was P. Ryan over 8.5 receiving yards. Dave, round two for you.
I like the Cam Akers under rush attempts prop. And right now it's at under 15 and a half at minus 115. When I saw it, it was 16 and a half at minus 120. Obviously, if I'm going to take the under, I like under 16 and a half, then 15 and a half. I'm a little concerned about just how much work he's going to get. He only played 30 snaps in their last game. He did get hurt in the game, but we know that two games before he had two costly fumbles. So I wonder if it's not going to be all on Cam Akers' plate in the game. So he could see Daryl Henderson come back and take a little bit of work. Sony Michel, especially if Akers can't get going early on, I could see Sony Michel taking some work away, taking those rushes away. But here's the real reason why I love this one. The Bengals have held opposing running backs, whether it's by fluke or by just the strength of their run defense, to 15 or fewer rush attempts in 13 of their past 15 games. The only two running backs to go over 15 rush attempts against them in a single game are D'Ernest Johnson, which is in that Week 18 throwaway game that no one cares about, and Derrick Henry in the playoffs when the Titans just fed him. Now, that also includes their game against Denver earlier this year, where each of those running backs had 15 carries. So teams do run on Cincinnati. The hunch is that Akers won't see 80% of the snaps, won't get his way to 16 rush attempts. I like that under.
Yeah, and see, I know you were worried about this. We were talking about this before the show, but Sean McVay talking about Daryl Henderson said, you're going to see all three backs. I think Daryl's going to go. You'll have Cam, Daryl, and Sony. You'll be able to see a good three-back rotation based on how the game unfolds. So I think that was one that you were looking at as well, that 15.5 rush attempts for Akers.
Well, at the beginning of the week, actually last week, I was looking at Akers over 63.5 rushing yards. It's now 62.5. It's obviously going down for a good reason because of the Daryl Henderson thing. I'm not so much worried about Sony Michel. I mean, last game against against San Francisco, 10 rushes for 16 yards, averaging 1.6 yards per carry. But I am a little worried about Daryl Henderson coming back. The shoulder injury doesn't worry me too much, but I got to admit he was limited at the last practice. So there's definitely a lot of concerns here. I will say this, his yards per carry has been pretty bad. It was the first two games he was back from his Achilles was around 2.5 yards per carry. It did shoot up even with that shoulder injury last game to 3.7. So there is potentially a positive trend at play here, but there's just too much going on. I will say this just to finish this thought off though. They are going to rush for yards, whether it's a three-back committee or it's if you can narrow it down to one or two backs, I think those one or two backs are in play. McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushed for plenty of yards per carry. The Chiefs just decided not to run the ball for whatever reason. If they kept running the ball, we'd have a Super Bowl matchup with Pat Mahomes and Matt Stafford.
I agree.
It's, you know, a little concerning to see 17 carries for 55 yards against the Cardinals in the wild card round. But the last two games, we should cut Akers a little bit of slack facing the Bucs and the 49ers, two of the very best run defenses in football. And the Bengals not on the same level as those guys. All right, Jamie, give me your second favorite player prop.
Well, if you want rushing from the Rams, the place you should go is Cooper Kupp, because he's going to have one carry, just one. That's all we need. His prop is a half rush yard at plus 250. And so all he has to do is fall forward once behind the line of scrimmage. We're in good shape here with him. It's a good situation. He's had at least one carry in three of his last six games. Now, last game against the 49ers, he had one carry for -2 yards. So he went the wrong way. But he goes forward 1 yard. We're in good shape. We're cashing big here. So I like the setup for Cooper Kupp at plus 250 with one rushing yard in this game.
Now, that'll include if Stafford throws like a bubble screen to him behind the line of and the ball goes backwards. It's like a lateral that counts as a carry. And if he takes that for, like you said, Jam, a yard, that's a win. That's a good one. That's fun.
All right, Schrager. We got three of our four. Our other options are P. Ryan over 8.5 receiving yards, Akers under 15.5 rush attempts, Kupp over half a rushing yard.
Hold on. Are we deciding now on
we can keep going. We can keep going.
I think we keep going. Because I've made a few wagers, and I want to see if any of them are picked. And if they are, we'll go with that one.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. I want to talk to you about the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. Why would I talk to you about it, though? Sia, why don't you tell us about the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast?
Yeah, we've been on schedule recording shows through the Super Bowl. So I'll tell you, we have a show we're going to be doing later today. It'll be specifically a DFS show on Tuesday. It's in your feed. We recorded a show on props. So we talked about a lot of the same props, but a lot of different props too. So keep that in mind. That's something you want to tag along with this show as well to listen to that. But our DFS specific show, we did one last week, but we're going to do one tomorrow. Oh, excuse me, later today as well. It'll be in your feed. We'll have some interesting plays, some interesting strategy. I think you'll want to tune in.
All right. So check it out anywhere you listen to podcasts, Fantasy Football Today, DFS podcast. And also check out the Early Edge podcast as well. They are live, Schrager, what, 3 o'clock on, 4 o'clock on YouTube?
4 o'clock on Sunday on YouTube. And then throughout the game as well. And CA will be on that too.
Yeah. So 4 Eastern. Check it out on YouTube. The early
you might not be the only one who's on that.
Hey, all right. In between pizza and wings, Dave will be making his appearances. All right, so
Buffalo Wing Pizza. Can we make that happen? It's no bones.
Let's check.
Buffalo Chicken Pizza, right?
Yeah, Buffalo Chicken Pizza. Yeah. Well, I like barbecue chicken pizza. But
that might be the move.
Can we add pepperoni to that? That's not too much, is it?
No, you can't. I'm sorry. That's
darn it.
Wings.
I think you definitely should.
Wings has 57% of the vote, by the way, on Twitter right now over pizza. A little bit of an upset, I'd say. All right, let's go to round three. Give me another prop, see ya.
Okay, so Jamie inspired me. I like Ja'Marr Chase over 4.5 rushing yards. So keep in mind, it's going to be tough treading for the running game against this really stout defense and an aggressive defense at that. I definitely see a scenario where there's one or two plays, whether it's what Dave said, you know, passing it behind the line of scrimmage, or whether it's just some sort of end around or just a straight up carry Deebo Samuel style with Ja'Marr Chase. Last game he had a carry, the game before that he had a carry, the game before that he had three carries. In a game where you are not going to be able to conventionally run the ball very well, you need to incorporate your superstars somehow, especially if those superstars are matched up with Jalen Ramsey a majority of the time. Get him behind the line of scrimmage, get him the ball. I like over 4.5 yards quite a bit.
Dave, round three for you.
Okay, so Jamie mentioned Matthew Stafford over 2.5 rushing attempts, and I thought that was cool. But then I started thinking to myself, what is it for Joe Burrow? It's got to be a little bit more because we've seen Burrow run lately. And what's been one of the hugest storylines this week, that the offensive line for Cincinnati is not good, and it's going to bring a lot of pressure on Burrow. And when a quarterback, especially one who is willing to run, feels that pressure, he'll get flushed out of the pocket. He'll look downfield. Maybe nobody's open. He'll take it for a gain on the ground. And lo and behold, Burrow's rushing total for attempts is the exact same as Stafford's, 2.5, and it's at even money. I like Burrow's rushing attempt prop over more than Stafford's rushing attempt prop over.
So what is it, 2.5?
2.5, just like Stafford.
And Burrow had 5 carries against the Chiefs. He has at least 3 carries in 3 of his past 6 outings. So they've both been running about the same. Stafford is a little bit more consistently in the playoffs.
Yeah, I just wonder if those are, how many of those are actual kneel downs for Stafford. But I don't know about for Burrow. We should probably look into
that. I think for Burrow, there's a game recently where he had 2 for -2, the Raiders game. Mm-hmm. So when you see something like that, I would assume that they're both kneel downs. I can't imagine what they'd be otherwise.
But 3 carries isn't hard for these guys to get to. It's not like you're asking to get to 5, you know. So
right.
Okay. So Jamie, which one do you like better, Stafford or Burrow 2.5?
Stafford, just because of the potential of them winning in the kneel down.
Okay. And then what's give me another prop, Jamie.
I'm going to go Beckham over 63.5 receiving yards. He's I think, finally starting to get in a rhythm with Stafford. He's been over this number each of the last 2 playoff games. Probably would have been over in the Cardinals game as well. This is a secondary I think is going to be challenged, obviously, quite a bit by Cooper Kupp. And I think Beckham, for the most part, you know, you look at where he's at right now, you know, you factor in what would have been a preseason, you know, in the first few games of getting used to Matthew Stafford, getting used to this offense. And now it's basically like he's in the middle of what would be his first year with the Rams, if you just factor in, you know, from the beginning of the season. So it's now, I think, game 9 or game 10, you know, with these 2 guys on the same page. Beckham, I think, is comfortable. He's, I think, enjoying being on a big stage again and getting the attention that he missed being in Cleveland. And so I just like the opportunity for him to, you know, eclipse this number again for the 3rd game in a row. And if you want to tie in some historical stuff here, the last 3 times he's faced the Bengals with the Browns, 2 of those games, he was over 74 yards in both of them. Again, that was with Cleveland. The 3rd one he'd like to forget. That was when he tore his ACL. But when he plays the Bengals, he has the opportunity to step up, at least I'm sure in his mind, and hopefully he does it 1 more time.
Okay. So Schrager, did you find one you really liked?
That's it right there. I'm on the Odell Beckham yards prop, and Jamie is too. So let's make it our fourth.
Okay. So let's get that. Beckham, 63.5.
It'd be great when he lines up against his former teammate, Eli Apple, and probably does some damage against him as well.
Over. All right. Do we have a four?
The Beckham one feels just too easy.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why I can't make this bet? Mixon, Higgins, Stafford, and Beckham, Schrager?
You'll have to do it as a same game parlay rather than just a normal parlay, clicking on all of them.
Okay. I'm learning a lot about the apps today. All right. So I'm going to try to figure out the odds, and I'll update everybody. While I do that, shouldn't take long. Sia, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? And Dave and Jamie, don't answer, because we have to get our big Super Bowl preview tomorrow.
I'm going with the Rams. Again, this is really matchup dependent. I think there's regression in order for the Cincinnati Bengals with respect to turnovers and just some of the bounces that have been going their way. Such a tough matchup on the interior on both sides of the ball. I like the Rams -4, even if it's at 4.5, which it probably will be at game time. I like that as well. I think this is probably a touchdown game for the Rams.
Oh, okay, cool. I need more time.
Can I say something about Odell? Because the case is laid out, and I wouldn't take the under on the yardage for OBJ, but I would take the under on the catches. It's 5.5 at -130, so you're betting on him not getting to 6 catches in the game. He does have 6 catches in each of his last 2 games. This plays into the idea that he's hitting his stride like the guys talked about, but he had 5 or fewer catches in 8 of 11 overall with LA. And this is a Bengals defense. They've done a really good job adjusting to who they play from week to week as far as their pass coverage goes. And just by the looks of how Stafford's done against zone coverage, and especially cover 3, cover 4, cover 6, where they really flood the backfield so it makes it hard to pass, the Bengals are good at that. That's what stopped Patrick Mahomes from having such a big game against them. It's why the Chiefs should have run the ball more, like Sia talked about, in their last game. So I'm a little nervous about Odell here, case in point being that his target rate is around 26% when he sees man coverage, 19% against zone coverage. His catch rate is about the same against both. It's 60%. It's not quite as good. Here's why I won't take the under on the yardage. He has more explosive plays versus zone than he does against man. So I think, could he end up with 5 for 75 or something like that? Yes, I think that's possible. But I don't see a way for him to get to 6 catches in the game. I think the zone coverage from the Bengals will deter Stafford from throwing a lot downfield, and it's been man coverage that Beckham's been doing a good job against.
All right, so I got a little bit of a problem here. We don't have one of these in the we have to get rid of the Stafford rushing total one. So I would like to replace it with Stafford over 1.5 touchdown passes, which he's done in like 8 of 9 games.
Yeah, but isn't that heavily juiced?
Yeah, but we're doing a 4 prop parlay here. I mean, we're going to get some good odds. So we could use a layup. Are we cool with that?
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, go on. Not cool with that?
I was going to say, how heavy is the juice? Because you could just take the Rams money line, because that's going to be juiced maybe similarly. If you like the Rams.
Yeah, Rams money line is -175. That's better, because Stafford over 1.5. Fine. Okay, Rams money line. All right, almost ready. We're going Rams money line.
You must be a thrill to be with at the sports books.
This is really hard. All right.
You're like at the window, and there's a line behind you.
Rams money line. Mixon.
Probably people are saying, is that kid even old enough to bet? Look at his face.
Nah, he would have been sitting in his chair figuring this out for about an hour before he even attempted.
I'm a little bit new to betting, and this is legal for like 3 weeks now, so give me a break. T. Higgins over 5.5 catches, and Schrager, what was the last one? We had Akers under 62.5. Oh, Beckham. Okay, Beckham over 63.
Ben figured it out. Look at the screen, Adam.
We got it. +800. That's awesome. Now, I did something different because I'm at +750, but let's just say it's +800. +800. Perfect. I'm putting $5 on that. Everybody do it. +800. Odell Beckham over 64.5. I have it at 63.5, but okay, whatever. T. Higgins over 5.5. Mixon under 62.5. Schrager's at under 60.5. Wow.
Ooh, I like yours.
Yeah.
Adam Azer Sportsbook.
And rules. Rams money line. I'm plus, but I am plus 750 and he's plus 800. So.
Oh, so your sportsbook sucks.
$5 to win 4250. The bet has been placed. That is the official four player prop, parlay, whatever, for fantasy football today. Beckham over yards, Higgins over receptions, Mixon under rushing yards, Rams money line.
You're going to pay for half your winnings.
Yes. Perfect. See ya. Thank you for hopping on. We appreciate it, man.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, boys. I really appreciate being on with you guys. And good luck in the Super Bowl and with the props. We're going to catch this one, though.
We are. And at the very least, we're going to have wings and pizza, and everybody will be happy.
Thanks,
Ian. Again, check out Fantasy Football Today, DFS, and that is Sia Najad at S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D on Twitter. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we got some news and notes, coaching hirings, and your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, here we are back with some news items. Minnesota, did we talk about this, Kevin O'Connell? I know I missed two shows and I was a little out of the loop, so I apologize. But Minnesota expected to hire Kevin O'Connell as their head coach. That's Rams offensive coordinator.
Yeah, we did it when it was the same day when Harbaugh pulled out of the running and the news was O'Connell's expected to take the job. They can't officially hire him until the Super Bowl's over, so expect that news probably on Monday, the official report, but he is expected to be the Vikings head coach.
All right. Sorry about that, everybody. Been on a crazy week. Atlanta wants Calvin Ridley to return next season. They're being very openly supportive. And we did a startup dynasty mock yesterday, and I took him round four-ish or something like that. But obviously, things have changed for Ridley. But if he comes back, I mean, do you guys see any reason why Calvin Ridley can't be a star receiver again?
What team is he on?
Well, the Falcons.
Let's say
if
Falcons.
He's on the Falcons, then no, I think Ridley goes right back to being at least what he was last year. And that was kind of a down year for him, right around, I think, 14 PPR points per game. And I think he's obviously got a ceiling to hit 20. Have absolutely no problem taking him as somewhere between 20th and 30th overall.
Boy, he had such a strange season. He was not used downfield. But if you recall, Matt Ryan wasn't really throwing downfield for the early parts of the season. But what do you think holds his value back more? The fact that he missed so much time with the personal issues, Jamie, or the fact that he wasn't that good when he played?
I mean, we see this a lot, when you go from actually, being the one to being the one, so he was really the number one receiver for the Falcons 2 years ago with Julio still there, but we know Julio missed a lot of time, but now teams know he was the one. And so, I think there was a little bit more respect factor in terms of who's covering him. The coverage slanted toward him. But I also think just in terms of what you're talking about with Matt Ryan, remember, it's a new offense. And so they had to, figure some things out and get through what their protection schemes were, where Ryan had to feel comfortable working in such a high-profile player, high-profile rookie like Kyle Pitts, who is a hybrid, not necessarily a tight end, not necessarily a wide receiver, is going to guy that's going to, mix and match. The Cordarrelle Patterson, role and figuring that out as well. And so I think, getting Ridley back, I don't know if he'll ever get to the heights that he was two seasons ago, but I don't think he can be far off from that. And then you have to wonder if they're losing, because they're probably going to invest in a quarterback at some point in the draft. If they are losing again or having, a little bit of a lull, do they make a quarterback change? Because Matt Ryan is clearly near the end of his run with the Falcons. I don't know if he's near the end of his run in the NFL, but if they're having a bad season, there's another younger quarterback on the roster that they can pivot to. you know, what will that mean for Calvin Ridley? And then will Ridley even want to still be there? You know, because if his personal situation was not just, you know, focusing on his mental health, was it really in regards to something in relation to the team? I have no idea. That's just, you know, speculating. You know, does he want to step away because he didn't want to be in Atlanta? And the reports, you know, might speak to that. But in any event, you know, would he try and force his way out? And so that's a lot still has to be determined. But I think, you know, if you're looking at Calvin Ridley, you know, you're hoping for him to come back and come back at that level that we saw two seasons ago. I was a little surprised because I was looking at him also, Adam. I think you took him right before I was up in that draft. I think you were two or three picks before me.
I took him 46th overall.
Yeah, and it was going that direction. I was surprised to see that he's 27. I thought he was still a little bit younger than that, but you know, still has a lot left in the tank, hopefully, and can come back and come back strong like we saw, you know, prior to him stepping away from the game.
Yeah, Ridley, that, by the way, in case you missed, this was a PPR startup dynasty, and it was a three-receiver league, but Ridley went right after Mike Evans and Keenan Allen, and right before Lamar Jackson, that was the next pick. How old is Mike Evans? Mike Evans is 28 years old. I don't know his birthday, but yeah, he's 8 years into his career. Calvin Ridley has played 4 years, so he feels so much younger than Mike Evans.
Right.
All right, so that is Calvin Ridley. Greg
Allman. I think I took Allen over Ridley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Greg Allman of The Athletic does not expect Jameis Winston to sign with the Bucs. Boo, we just kind of want that to happen. New Orleans has hired Doug Marrone to be on its offensive coaching staff, and the Giants hired Wink Martindale as their defensive coordinator.
They did a great job this offseason.
Who?
The Giants?
Yeah, their coaching staff is nice.
Sure.
And you wanted to keep Joe Judge.
Well, I mean, at least we got rid of him for a proven commodity in Brian Daboll. We know exactly what kind of head coach he'll be. NBA Celebrity All-Star Game Challenge. Dave, you ready for this one?
What?
Yeah, we did this before the show. Jamie and I know almost nobody that's participating in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game. I think Schrager is the clubhouse leader. I think he knew 7 of the participants. Is that right, Schrager?
Which still isn't a lot, but yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see how many you know. And you
These are celebrities in the, like a, okay.
They're singers, they're actors, some are athletes. You have.
Well, you know that I am constantly keeping my finger on the pulse.
But you have teenagers.
Yeah, you have teenagers.
Have an advantage over the two of us.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah,
but
you're assuming I talk to my teenagers.
All right. Do you know these people?
Sure.
This will be on Team Walton.
Walton?
Yeah,
I know Bill Walton.
Jimmy Allen. Do you know Jimmy Allen?
Yeah, it's Josh Allen's brother.
Over one. Do you know Brittany Elena?
Who doesn't?
You and me and Jamie. Do you know Machine Gun Kelly? Machine
Gun yes.
Kelly. Okay. Yeah, me too.
Who is Machine Gun Kelly?
Perform live. Machine Gun Kelly is a rapper.
Okay.
Bonus question.
A good one.
Who is he married to?
Megan Fox.
Yay! All right.
You're not married yet, though.
Oh, damn it. So close. Do you know Tiffany Haddish? I hope I'm pronouncing
yes,
that right.
Yes, comedian. She's yeah. hysterical.
Okay, we knew her, too. Do you know D'Arica Hamby? I don't know.
I knew who Marcus Camby was.
Well, this
I think I've heard that name. D'Arica Hamby, but I don't know who that is.
She's a Las Vegas Aces forward. I didn't know her either. I don't want to do this anymore because I don't know I don't know how to pronounce these people's names.
Oh, no, that's what's making it fun. Keep going.
Okay, fine. Nyjah Huston or Houston. I don't know. Oh, she's an Olympian. Probably should know.
Of
that.
Course she is.
How about Matt James?
Edgerrin's son.
Quavo. Do you know Quavo?
I know Jose Cuervo.
Do you know Ranveer Singh?
No.
Do you know Anderson Varejao?
Yes, he used to play in the NBA.
He did, yeah. Do you know, gosh, Schrager?
How excited I was to know who Anderson Varejao.
Schrager, do you know how to pronounce this person? Enwel AA?
No.
He's a rapper.
Yeah.
Do you know Mayor Justin Bibb?
That's a mayor?
Yeah, well, or it's a rapper who goes by the name Mayor Justin Bibb.
He invented Bibb lettuce.
Mayor Justin Bibb is the mayor of Cleveland.
Do you know
Kane Brown?
Kane Brown's name I've heard, but I think he's a rapper.
Singer-songwriter.
That's okay. Close enough.
Not giving you that. How about Millie's Garrett?
He's a defensive edge rusher for the Cleveland Browns.
Yes. Miles Garrett is playing. Booby Gibson. I skipped over him, but I know Booby Gibson. You know Booby Gibson?
I know a booby.
He is a Cleveland Cavaliers legend, according to this website I'm on. It's a strong word, but he was a Cav.
Is the game in Cleveland?
Yes. It better be, because they're bringing the mayor of Cleveland in.
Is so. Craig Elo playing in the game?
Michael Jordan will be hitting a jumper over him. Jack Harlow.
No, don't know who that is.
Chrissa Jackson.
Nope. Singer-songwriter?
Harlem Globetrotter, Chrissa Jackson. Mm-hmm. Anjali Ranadive.
No clue.
Singer-songwriter. Gianmarco Tamberi.
That's one person or two people?
One person.
If you think we've hit a lull this part of the offseason, just wait till next.
This is an Olympic high jumper. And Alex Toussaint. Jamie knew Alex Toussaint.
I've heard that name too.
Yeah, that is a Peloton instructor.
Oh, no, I have no idea who he is. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that name.
Okay. Well, Dave, you didn't do so well, but neither did
I. Yeah, I stuck, apparently.
I'm trying to become cooler. Maybe I'll watch the Celebrity All-Star Game. Be like, yo, you guys see my man, Mayor Justin Bibb? We have some emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Luke. Dear Ronnie Salahay, Tinker, and Hiroshi. I know we always try to stack in DFS.
They're in the NBA All-Star.
I know we try to stack in DFS, but what's the thought about stacking in a redraft league? Should drafting a certain receiver make you more inclined to draft his quarterback?
I mean, if you stack Stafford and Kupp this season, you're probably happy. If you stacked Adams and Rodgers this season, you're probably happy. I guess maybe Burrow and Chase. You probably were pretty disappointed, though, if you went the Prescott, Cooper, or Lamb route, you know, just based on how those receivers were inconsistent. I don't know. I mean, it works out when they both hit. You know, it's just one of those scenarios. You know, like, I'm trying to think going into the season, Mahomes and Kelsey.
Well, let me ask you this, right? So there was a stretch of quarterbacks in rounds 4, 5, 6, 7 that we thought were pretty similar. Who was it? Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. So let's just say
Josh
it was
Allen.
Yeah, he was probably a little bit ahead, but
he led off the group.
Okay, let's say he was off the board. And maybe we'll throw Russell Wilson in there, whatever. If you had CeeDee Lamb, would that have made you more likely to have drafted? No, let's compare Hopkins and Metcalf instead. If you had, since they had very similar ADPs, if you had Hopkins, would that have made you more likely to take Kyler Murray over Russell Wilson?
I've never made that decision consciously in a fantasy draft. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to consciously make it and say, okay, if I'm deciding between two quarterbacks, I'm going to either way to take the quarterback of the receiver that I got or take the other quarterback. The idea behind not taking the same quarterback as the same receiver and not stacking is to kind of place your chips everywhere. And so you've got, you know, just in case the Cardinals have a bad game, maybe the Seahawks have a good game, instead of putting it all your chips on one number. Get what I'm saying?
Putting it all on one team. Has done this quite a few times the last couple of seasons with Mahomes and Kelsey, because he tends to gravitate toward those two guys earlier than most. Kelsey, probably not earlier, but Mahomes. In our analyst drafts.
For sure, I'm all.
And so I think you could probably ask him this question if he's liked how it's worked out. You know, last year probably the one year that it was a little frustrating when that stretch of games happened where they were struggling. So could have cost him, you know, a playoff spot if he didn't get, you know, stack wins early. Not to use the same word, but, you know, get wins early and then, you know, survive it at the end when things picked up a little bit. So it's not necessarily the most sound strategy, I think, to go in trying to do. I think Dave said it best. You know, if it falls that way, you kind of just run with it. But there are going to be times where you're disappointed. You know, go back to, you mentioned this a couple times about Adams with his free agency. You know, when Rodgers hurt his calf a few years ago, you know, how bad that was for Adams.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of downside. One guy gets hurt, it could be two. You could have two ineffective players. I guess one thing we'll definitely tell you is never reach for that quarterback if you're trying to stack. You know, if you want to make that decision, it's fine, but don't go in there determined to do it and then make a bad pick. Reach for a guy just to have the stack.
Sure.
Okay.
And also be choosy about which offenses you pick. I think that's kind of obvious advice. You know, you're only going to be interested in stacking the very best offenses in your redraft leagues.
I would like to try to commit to only drafting players on good offenses. Never drafting a guy who I know is just going to be on kind of a crappy offense.
Right, but you're eventually going to get to a point in your draft where someone's available that you'll like the value of, but they're on the Jaguars.
And I'm not going to.
Right, but you also shouldn't be overlooked. I mean, like Brandon Cooks was a great example this last year. You know, don't overlook, you know, guys that are still going to be productive.
I just want to try. I just want to see what happens. Ryan from Poutineville. Where do you think that is?
It's probably Montreal.
Yeah, I think it's something like that, yeah. 12-team salary cap, non-PPR league. As soon as Melvin Gordon leaves Denver, fingers crossed, I have a decision to make. It's a two-receiver league, by the way, and it's non-PPR, so heavy favoring there to the running backs. Keep two, Kupp, Mixon, and Javonte Williams. Also, that will put me at about 66% of my $100 budget. So should I only keep one? That's another consideration. He does not give me the prices, by the way, but Kupp, Mixon, and Javonte. So if you were going to keep two in a non-PPR league, who would they be?
For me, it would be Kupp and Mixon. And I'm pretty sure Kupp will be close to maybe 30 in my non-PPR salary cap draft values. Mixon should be pretty close to there too, but I'm not sure if combined they're worth 66 out of 100.
If Rodgers signs with the Broncos or gets to the Broncos, and it's a retread or, you know, late draft pick as a backup to Javonte Williams, I would keep Williams and Kupp.
Would you do it, though, for two-thirds of your budget?
Yes.
Okay. This is from Daniel from the crab capital of the world.
That's Baltimore, isn't that?
That's what I would have guessed.
Maryland? Probably safer to say Maryland and just cover my bases.
You guys ever been to the Rustic Inn?
I've driven past it many times to park my car in the long-term lot at Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood International Airport. No, I've never been to the Rustic Inn.
No.
If you had accepted my very late, half-sincere invite to the dinner portion of my bachelor party, you would have gone to the Rustic Inn with us.
If you had invited us to the other portion of the bachelor party, we would have been there.
Well,
I'm just sad I missed the second part of it, which was to go to see the movie. The Disney movie that you saw the second half of your bachelor party.
What do you mean? Like, because
so you went from dinner to see a Disney movie. That was the end of the night.
You're joking? Like, because it was such a lame bachelor party?
No. Just knowing you, it's going to be PG.
Oh. I was like, is he making another joke about when my wife falls asleep?
No.
Okay.
Your wife falls asleep, we know what you watch.
Anyway, go to the Rustic Inn. It's awesome.
Boom, 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 boom.
Hold on.
You watch breaking news.
All right, Daniel's question. Okay. I'm very intrigued by Dynasty Fantasy.
Don't breathe heavily into the microphone you're doing.
I'm very intrigued by Dynasty Fantasy Football, and I want to start or join a league this year. I was wondering how to best start a Dynasty League or how to join one. When is the best time to start the draft? Where can I find your rankings? Are there any rules you would recommend for a new league or any overall commissioner advice? Any beginner dynasty advice would be greatly appreciated, Jamie. Get Daniel's dynasty league going.
There's two schools of thought to this. So one would be is just wait till after the draft and do the NFL draft and do the entire draft all at once. That way you have the rookies already there and you can just start everything from scratch. The other would be, you can do it after free agency before the NFL draft. And this is how Heath's Dynasty League started, the one that we're in and Adam's a partial observer of, is he did a non-rookie draft prior to the NFL draft, but after free agency. And then what he did was he flipped the order. So if you picked 12th, you had the first pick in the rookie draft. And so then you had the opportunity to go to the rookies that way. So you can do it that way also. I would probably just wait until the NFL draft is over, do it all at once, do a startup draft from there. And you just, you know, you can see the results of the draft that Heath is going to publish, I'm going to guess, by the end of the week, of how a startup, you know, dynasty draft will look like without the rookies in there. So Heath also has a good ranking, good rank list. And this ties into, I think, a question we had at some point in the last week or so, Adam, of when would you draft the picks, the without knowing the players? Mm-hmm. And Heath also has ranked the picks, which I think is a cool feature as well. So you can see where he would put, you know, pick 101, 102, et cetera, in a startup rookie dynasty league. A startup dynasty, excuse me.
If I can add one other thing, it may be a little challenging to start your own dynasty league because now you've got to convince anywhere from 7 to 11 of your pals, hey, join me on this awesome long-term journey of fantasy football goodness. You've got to have people that are really into fantasy football. Casual fantasy football managers just are not into dynasty. It hasn't gotten that big yet. Our buddy Scott Fish does a great job of finding these orphan dynasty teams, people who abandon their dynasty teams. They're out. Their team might stink or whatever. And he finds fresh managers for those teams. So if you have a hard time finding people to start your own dynasty league, and I would much rather everybody go find your friends and start a dynasty league with your pals, but if you can't find those pals, Scott Fish has a way to like give you an orphan dynasty team, and you're playing with strangers, but at least you've got a dynasty team, and who knows, in time, those strangers might become your friends.
And by the way, Daniel's greeting was, dear Swan, Stallworth, and Ward.
Oh, Steelers.
Those are Steelers. Wide receivers. Specifically. Yeah. And the one, dear Ronnie Salahay or whatever, Tinker and Hiroshi, I could not find anything on Google, so I have no idea. Apple Podcast question from After Sunset. Yes, that is his name. After Sunset. Says, dear Charlie, Brad, Sam, and Patrick, which you're not going to get. I had to Google it, and it was from the movie The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is a very good movie, by the way. If you've never seen it. When you're going for a diving catch, what is the hardest part?
The turf. Hardest part.
The turf is what After Sunset. <That's a joke. laughs> It's good. Yeah, so there, we'll leave it at that. Thanks very much. Sia did a great job. Hope everybody's enjoying the props. If you need more of them, you can listen to Fantasy Football Today in 5. We're doing those all week. If we had one official prop, I feel like we're all pretty high on T. Higgins, either the catches or the yards. I prefer the yards.
Is a little safer, but there's more juice that you got to lay down on that.
And I really think Joe Mixon under 62.5 is probably my favorite.
I agree.
Jamie, are you pretty much on board with those two?
Yeah, I wrote 10 props that are on the site today, and both of those are in there.
Okay. So that's that, and we're all going to win plus 800 on the official Fantasy Football Today.
I put $500 down this.
So I'll win more. Wow. Well, plus 800, you know, it's pretty good. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, and for watching. We will talk to you tomorrow with our official Super Bowl 56 preview with Heath, Dave, and Jamie. Till then, have a good one. See you later.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.